Good morning. In Mary's absence, I will present the lesson this morning. And I'm going to get wired in here. There you go. And the lesson we will look at is the Gospel of Good News. John had read to us this morning from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I would like to read verse 16. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the Gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So this morning we're going to see what the definition of the Gospel is that Paul had written about. We're also going to examine Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And finally, we're going to see what our responsibilities of Christians who have submitted our lives to the Gospel. The Gospel, good news. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the Gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." So the Gospel is what saves us. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, which we are baptized into. And this morning I would like to use Paul's words in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And it reads, "Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who is born of the descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace and to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ." There's a lot of different points in this particular passage that I just read. Paul is the preacher of good news, an example for you and I to follow in our daily Christian walk. Preach the good news. Share the gospel with our friends and neighbors. First, share the gospel with others. He then tells us that the promise. This gospel was promised to us in the Scriptures. It was foretold to us. Also, the person in the gospel, and that is Christ Jesus. We also see what the provision of the gospel is in this particular reading. We also see the proclamation of the gospel, what the purpose of the gospel is, finally the privileges of the good news, all in this one passage of Scripture. So first he starts, "Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God." So Paul's the preacher of the gospel. In it we find that he was saved by Jesus Christ, just as you and I are saved when we obey the gospel. In this particular case, Paul says he's a servant. In my translation, the New American Standard, says he's a bond servant of Christ Jesus. Later on in the sixth chapter, Paul goes into a discourse of when we are in sin, we are slaves to sin. But when we are in Christ, we become slaves to righteousness. And that's the way we should be in our lives, in our Christian way of life. And that's the way Paul is. We also see that Paul was sent by Jesus Christ. When Paul was on the way to Damascus, he had letters from the high priest and Pharisees to persecute Christians. In chapter 9, we see that Jesus appeared to him, and his life was changed. And he was chosen as a vessel of Jesus to bring forth the message to not only Jews but also to Gentiles. And finally we see that he's separated unto Jesus Christ. He's set apart for the gospel. He's set apart for the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection, as you and I are. In verse 2, which he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures. We could go through a lot of scripture in the Old Testament to show this. They only have basically two verses to us to consider. Two verses that we all are familiar with. One is, first of all, the revelation of Jesus Christ is in the Old Testament. We see that time and time again. It was foretold in Isaiah chapter 53, where Jesus was led to the slaughter like a sheep and didn't say anything about it. Didn't argue. He just submitted to those who were going to persecute him. He died because that's what God wanted. His death as the ultimate sacrifice that humanity has for the forgiveness of sins. In Genesis chapter 37 through 50, there's a story about Joseph. This is a foreshadow of Jesus. We see that Joseph, one of 12 brothers, was sold into slavery. He didn't complain about it. He was in prison for his dreams. He didn't complain about it. When his master listened to his wife, and his wife had accused him of adultery, he didn't complain about it. He was silent. When there was a great famine in the land, he had enough foreknowledge to save for that. So he prepared for that. And when his family, his brothers, came for some grain, he saved them. He gave it to them and invited them home to Egypt. Foreshadow of Jesus, whom came on this earth, who was rejected by his own people. He was crucified because he claims to be Son of God, which he is. He went to the cross, he died, and as the scripture said, he was risen on the third day. He's God's Son. We could go through the Old Testament and look at all different scriptures, but this will basically assist us in that. Next two verses. Concerning his son, who was born a descendant of David, according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God, with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. the person of the gospel. That is Christ Jesus. We see that his identity, his son, he was a son. He had a title of king. He came from the lineage of David. His throne, descendant of David. We also see his humanity, according to the flesh. He put on a human body so that he could undergo the same temptations that we undergo, but yet with one difference. He never sinned. When he was tempted, he didn't sin. We also see that the scripture says in verse 4, declared the Son of God. So he is the Son of God, his deity. We also see the authority that he has over resurrection. He has power from the dead. We also see his purity, spiritual of holiness. No man can make that statement, but Jesus can. He can say that he was sinless. Can we say we are sinless? Absolutely not. We need God's grace. We need God's forgiveness. We need God's plan of salvation so that we can be with him in heaven. In verse 5, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Now the gospel is for all. In verse 16 he said the gospel is for the Greek and also it's for Greek and Gentiles. It's for Jews and Gentiles. It's for all mankind. And now the message is going forth to the Gentiles so that they may have the opportunity that was given to the Jews first to receive God. To receive God and be forgiven of their sins. It's the provision of the gospel. It's God's salvation. It's God's power of salvation to all that believe. All that accept the gospel by their obedience, by their faith. Also, it's available to all. It's available to Gentiles, it's available to the Jews back in the first century. It's available to everyone. It's available to you and I. He goes on further to say in verse 6, we'll continue with verse 5, though whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. So the proclamation of the gospel is that we are all called for Christ. We all have that opportunity to be saved. It's by God's grace. It's not by what we do. It's not by what we do in the world or what people do in the world in the name of God. It's by God's grace we are saved, not by our own initiative. You also see that his apostleship showed them obedience to the faith. He was a witness. He saw Jesus, Paul did. We have his testimony in the Bible. The testimony of many people who had witnessed the resurrection. We have instructions from the writers of the New Testament on how to live. And it's up to us to be a witness for Jesus now, to proclaim that he came forth in this world to save humanity. And the only way mankind can receive that is by our obedience. We also see that our obedience is through our faith and our belief that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He suffered a brutal death. He was buried, and again he rose again from the dead. The purpose of the gospel salvation to the Gentiles and to the Jews. That's all who call on the name of the Lord. In verse 7, he says, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the privileges of the good news, that those who put on Christ accept. We are beloved of God, and he stated that to the saints who are in Rome, but also that is applicable to us. We are called of God, we are called saints. Those who put on Christ Jesus are saints. It's by grace and peace from God and Jesus Christ. Again, it's not of our own initiative. It's by God's grace we are saved. So that leads us to the next half of our lesson is, what are our responsibilities as Christians? What are each and every one of us are supposed to do in our Christian walk of life? What is my responsibility to God? What is your responsibility to God? First item I have is, we have to grow in the Lord. We grow as a child grows. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, Peter says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So you do a comparison to a baby. They are helpless. You have to take and take care of that individual baby. Feed it, nurture it, assist it, help it grow. The Word of God is what Christians have to grow in their spiritual way of life. Spiritual walk of life. The Word is what we have. If you read it and you study it and you apply it to your lives, you're going to grow in the Lord. And that's what God expects you and I to do, grow in His service. One way we can do by studying the Bible. We see that 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we read, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Be diligent to accurately handle God's word. And how do you do that? Well, I have a difficult time just reading something and remembering. I have to sit down, analyze it, study it, break it down so I can understand it. And what I've been doing, well, for some time now is, when I study, I look at what the Greek says so I can understand what that word is. And sometimes it takes me 3 or 4 hours to get through one word to see what it actually says and how it's applicable to me. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that what the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't conform to this world. I know there are a lot of exterior influences in life that will take away from God's word. But Paul says, transform by renewing your mind. And how do you renew your mind? You sit down with God's word and listen to what he says to you. Listen to how the Spirit had directed the minds of these men to write, so that you may understand God's will, that you may understand the way he expects you to live. I like sports. I love to watch basketball. That's my favorite sport, I think. I love watching to see the different patterns because I'm interested. My background is in engineering. However, it's more important for me to dive into the Word and understand what He expects of me. I'm going to be a student of the Bible for the rest of my life. I know people study the Bible. I know people who are eloquent the way they present God's Word. But if you take the time to study and listen to what He says, you are going to be renewing your mind daily, putting on Christ at all times, so that you could talk to someone about Jesus and accurately present the truth to that individual. Be faithful. That's one of the messages we should be. Be faithful. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful in your Christian walk of life. Don't be ashamed of standing up for Jesus. If someone in the world ridicules you, someone in your workplace puts you down, stand fast for the gospel. And what John said in Revelation, I will give you the crown of life. That's what we are all seeking. Eternal life, eternal happiness for God. Add to your Christian graces. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. We are supposed to add to our Christian graces. Grow in our service to God. Grow in our knowledge. And how do we do that? Is it by just coming Sunday mornings? Is it coming to class? No. It's by studying our Bible, by being immersed into God's Word, and not only understanding what God says, but put it into action. We should demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit, not to our only brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to those of the world. Those who need the gospel. Those we want to share the gospel with. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11, for now for this very reason also, apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, being all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the kingdom, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. So use these fruits of the Spirit and build upon them so that you can share with others, not only your family, your physical family or your spiritual family, but others in the world, so that they can see Christ Jesus dwells in you. Wear the whole armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 20, it's a long reading, and I'll start off with verse 11. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to. Words from Paul. Even though he's in prison in Rome, he still wants to boldly proclaim God's word. Something that you and I have the opportunity to go forth in our existence as we travel on time side of eternity to bring others to Christ. So wear the whole armor of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. We should be doing that on a daily basis. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight. Make sure you withstand those temptations of the devil. Make sure you understand the direction that God wants you to go. God expects you and I to be faithful and live a righteous life to the best of our ability. We do fall short, we do stumble. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We do sin. But confess those sins and turn your life again to God so that you could walk with Him. Walk in a right relationship with God. Reminds me of that fellow in the Old Testament, Enoch. Never seen death. He walked with God. Are we walking daily with God in our lives? Or are we allowing the temptations, the pressures of the world to draw us away from our first love? And that is God. He has given us a gift, His Son, so that we can have the opportunity to be with Him in heaven. Finally, two more points. Love the brethren. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, since you have in obedience to the true purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren. Fervently love one another from the heart. That's something that we should work on. Love one another. Share what we have. Assist one another in our times of trials. Assist one another in our times of joy. Be happy for that individual, your brother or sister in Christ. Love the brethren. And finally, we as Christians have responsibility to worship God in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." We as Christians should give God the glory, give God the honor, give God the worship that he and only he should have. I know a lot of times we see someone who is a great athlete, we admire what he does or what she does, but God expects Christians to worship him in spirit and truth. And by doing that is by assembling here, by listening to what his word says. You know, a lot of times we hear, well, we're going to be studying Acts again, we're going to be studying Romans again. By going over and over these books, we gain a better knowledge and understanding of the way God wants you and I to walk in our Christian walk of life. We as Christians have to grow to the point that our life resembles Christ, so that someone could look upon us and say, well, if that's what Christianity is all about, I want to be part of that. And by understanding what the scriptures say, by our studying, to relay that plan of salvation for that individual. Now, so that he may have the same opportunities that we have, eternal life. So we looked at what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. That is essentially the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. We also see in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, that the good news, Paul states that, first of all, he's a preacher. The promise, what the promise of the gospel is, it came from scriptures. It's been known by God from before we even existed that he had a plan to save you and I. We also see that Jesus is that person of the gospel. He suffered and died on the cross for our sins, that we may have the opportunity, God's grace, to have eternal life. We also see what the provision of the gospel is. We went to see what proclamation of the gospel. We should proclaim God's word to all by our actions, by our way of life, so that others could come to Jesus. The promise of the gospel. If we're obedient to the gospel by our baptism into the body of Christ, we're going to be saved. And that starts our journey to eternal life here on earth. We studied this morning in Acts chapter 15, and we alluded to the fact that Paul and Barnabas, as they went forth on their first missionary journey, they suffered for the cause of Christ. They suffered even to the point of death. They took Paul out and they stoned him outside the city. They suffered for Christ because of that promise of the gospel, that promise of eternal life through Christ Jesus. We also see that we have privileges in the gospel. We are God's beloved children. We are his saints. we are called out to stand before everybody and proclaim His Word, and to be an instrument, as Paul was, as the apostles were in the first century church, to bring others to Christ. We also have responsibilities as Christians, and that is to grow in the Lord, to study the Bible, to be faithful, to add Christian graces to our lives. Sometimes it's difficult, we struggle, but yet we have the opportunity to grow in that. We also should demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit to all that we meet, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to our physical family, but also those who need the gospel. We should wear the whole armor of God. Put on what is necessary to combat Satan. He's willing to do whatever he can to pull others away from God. But take the time to do your diligence to prepare yourself so that you can withstand these temptations. Fight the good fight of faith at all times. When we die, we want to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," before the judgment seat. Now God's going to open up these books, as was people who look at Revelation, and hopefully your name is in it, and He's going to judge every action that you have done on this earth, whether good or bad. We ask for His mercy and grace now, but at the time of judgment, you're not going to have that opportunity. So now's the time. Now we should love the brethren. There are brothers and sisters in Christ, a spiritual family that we lean on, that we rely on, that we need help from sometimes, and that we can help when we can. And finally, worship God in spirit and truth. The lesson is yours this morning. If you're in the audience this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, and you believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and willing to make that confession before men and be repented of, repent from your sins, we ask that you come forward.